Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday morning. Also want to remind you that we'd be glad to see you live and in person as we worship this morning at 10:30 at our church at 101 North Oak. Sunday school starts at 9:30 with classes for all ages. If you don't have a church home, come and join us.
Thanks and praise to the Lord.
For God has dealt mercifully with us.
Even when we turned our backs on God,
God forgave us and restored us to life.
Rejoice in God's abundant love.
We will continually praise God who heals and loves us. Amen.
Bountiful God, who gives to us all that we need to sustain our lives, open our hearts today to hear your words of compassion and justice, that we may focus on the ways in which you intend us to live and be of service to you by serving the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our special music is a three-generation male quartet made up of Oscar and Otto Roback, their father Andrew Roback, and their grandfather Norman Roback, singing Brighten the Corner Where You Are.
Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you now be true. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where Jesus are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. Just above our clouded skies that you may help to cheer, let not narrow self your way debar. Though into one heart alone may fall your song of cheer, brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where Jesus are, brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. Here for all your talent you may surely find a need. Here reflect the bright and morning star. Even from your humble hand the bread of life may feed. brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are.
Beth Damp reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Matheny's sermon, simply entitled Greed.
O God, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Our first lesson today comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9 and verse 43. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered him from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the sons of men. For he satisfies him who is thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. Whoever is wise, let him give heed to these things. Let men consider the steadfast love of the Lord. The second lesson comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ is our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you lived in them, but now put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on a new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here then cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Our third lesson today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. One of the multitude said to him, "Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Here ends the scripture lessons.
Thank you. Thank you, Beth. I apologize for my voice today. I'm having a summer cold. Usually you have colds in the winter, but somehow it hit me in the summer. Each week, Don and I have been doing different things in our church and in the community. Last Sunday, we went to the St. Martin's Catholic Church annual dinner. that they held, and I was so surprised at how many people were there. You know, they have a large gymnasium, and it was just packed with people, and they just kept coming and going. You know, they have a real organized system of people coming and going. Food was really good. We enjoyed that, and I guess some people spend the summer going to different picnics at the different Catholic churches, so I can see how you would enjoy that. In the middle of the week, Don and I went to the Central UCC cluster for kind of this area, and Carla Clennon took us, and I had no idea that Carla was so active in the UCC churches and organization in this area, but she's very knowledgeable, well-liked, and I really appreciated her taking us with her and introducing us to some ministers. As you might know, I made it to the end of the Women's Guild meeting to have dessert. This last week, it was peach cobbler. And it blessed me all the way down, I tell you. It was so good. So thank you, ladies, and for your delicious food and friendships. You may be wondering, if you were close to me today, you would notice my shirt has my name on it. You might be thinking, Pastor Matheny, you're kind of vain, aren't you, to have your name on your shirt? Well, there's a reason behind it. When Don and I were doing an interim in Pensacola Beach, Florida, one of the ladies there was a snowbird person from St. Louis. And she knew that Mike Matheny, you know, was there in St. Louis as a coach. So she thought, well, why not get a shirt since you have the same name? I'll put your name on this Cardinal shirt. And it reminded me, too, that when I was in Milwaukee, I went to a prayer breakfast one morning with my son, and Mike Matheny was the speaker. He's just a real committed, dedicated Christian. And so he shared that morning. And what was kind of interesting was my son is a junior, so he has my name. So there were three Mike Mathenys all in one spot, which you don't see very often. And I Googled him this week and found out that he is still in Kansas City helping with the baseball program in different ways. So that's how I got this shirt. And so it brings a lot of special memories to me whenever I wear it during the summer months. I was drawn this week to this gospel text and began to think about it and its meaning for my life, for your life as well. And in this parable, in the story, it says a stranger came out of the crowd and confronted Jesus, seemed like kind of rudely, and said, you know, Jesus, can you make my brother give me my inheritance, my half of the estate? And, you know, we're not told anything about the situation. We don't know what the relationship was among the two brothers. But it's obvious in the story that this brother who wanted the money, was preoccupied with getting the money. That was his goal at that moment, and maybe in life, to get his share of the money. And so Jesus gives one of his wonderful parables illustrating a great truth. And so he tells this story about a farmer. Some of you might relate to being a farmer, since a lot of you are. And in this story, this farmer has a very successful year of growing a crop. He has a wonderful crop, and maybe more than what he ever planned for, because it says he had more hay or grain or whatever that would fit in his barn. And so what he did was he went out and shared it with, that's not the way the story goes. He said, well, if I have all of this, I'm going to build a bigger barn so I'll have room for more of my stuff. That to him, that made sense. And that's what he was going to do. But Jesus, is able to show that that's not the response that he should have. Instead, he calls him a fool. He said, this man who wanted to build a bigger barn and put more in was actually a foolish person. This man apparently was self-centered. He only cared about himself, things he wanted, what made him happy and important. And so Jesus says he was a fool. And, when I was thinking about, somehow my mind started thinking about the inequities of our world in terms of resources. We're not as aware of that here in America or, in our community. I see it more in Albuquerque, because we have 3,000 or so homeless people in Albuquerque. And you can see them on the streets of the city and in different places. And I mean, we know, and studies have been done, that many of the people choose to live on the streets because they're free to do whatever they want to and have no rules or regulations. But at the same time, there are a number who are truly homeless and without the daily things that they need. There's a great economic inequity in the world around us. We're told that the gap between the wealthy and the poor is the worst in 3 decades of our history. And it's not improving any, it's getting worse. I was surprised, because I wouldn't know that there are 23 millionaires in America. That's quite a few. And there's 1,135 billionaires. Don and I talk about, we don't even know how much money that is, $1 billion. Then I just started looking at what were some of the highest billionaires in our country. Some of them you've heard of. Our president is a billionaire. $7 billion is his net worth. I wonder how Ivana's going to spend all that in her lifetime. But if you jump way up the ladder, start with Bill Gates, and we know who Bill Gates is. He's worth $108 billion. I will say this for Bill is that a number of years ago, he gave $100 million to Rotary International for polio relief. And I'm glad to tell you that through that effort and others, no matter where you go in the world, you will have a hard time finding anyone that has polio today. And then Warren Buffett is well known, our good person in there living in Nebraska. He's worth $149 billion. One thing about Warren Buffett, whether or not it's going to be true or not, he said that he's going to give away all of his fortune before he dies to different groups. So hopefully he'll do that. Jeff Bezos is someone that came out of the technological world, $247 billion he's worth. That's good. I always have been fascinated with the Walton family that own Walmart. My dad met Sam Walton one time down in Arkansas, and sure enough, he wore coveralls and drove a little pickup. As you know, his business became very successful. The business now is divided up among the family members. There's no one Walton. But if you combine their family wealth, they're worth $471 billion. And at the top of the list, Elon Musk, $839 billion. They're estimating, and just if things keep going, he'll be the first trillionaire to ever live in our country. I thought, you know, if he went to a church somewhere and he gave 10% of his income, which is kind of the normal amount people try to give, that'd be a lot of money. But on the opposite end, we're told that 48 million Americans have food scarcity every day. 16 million of those are children. Every day, don't have enough to eat. It doesn't make sense, does it? And around the world, we're told that 703 million people do not have water to drink, adequate water to drink every day. That's a lot of people. As you grow up and as you go through life, all of us struggle with greed in some way or another, where the desire to have more things. I mean, you know, as you start out in business and things, and your income increases, the tendency is always, well, let's have a bigger house. I mean, that'd be nice, and buy a bigger house. You see beautiful cars. You know, it'd be nice to have a new car, and so you buy a new car. They smell so nice, you know, when you get inside of them. So this kind of is the pattern that we see so much in the world and in our own lives as well, wanting more. And I have a confession to make today Don't tell anyone that I told you this. I do not gamble. I don't know how. I wouldn't win anyway, but I just never have. But a couple of years ago, I lost track now. The Powerball lottery got to $1 billion. That's a lot of money. I mean, one person, or maybe a few, is going to win that. So I bought a ticket. A $2 ticket I bought to win that money. Well, I didn't win. I couldn't help think of all the things you could do with that for your family and friends and the church and all kinds of different places. I can't get over when I go into the stores to get, you know, in the place to get gas, and you go in where people are buying lottery tickets. I mean, it's a serious business for some people. They have briefcases full of stuff that they have that they use to figure out things, and they invest serious money every week, every month in trying to win those big lotteries. And you know, some of the people, I mean, I'm getting up in years too, but some of these people can hardly walk, and some of them, you know, they can't. I mean, they're really elderly, and they're buying lottery tickets. I'm like, what are you going to do with it? I don't know. But they do. And so, you know, we all struggle with this tendency to want more things. But Jesus said in this parable, he said, be on guard against all greed. He wants us to be aware that it can be a real problem in our lives, and be aware of that. It's one of the most important things that he ever taught in his ministry. And we know that things don't really satisfy. It's not things that satisfy. It's instead it's relationships with other people. It's the joy of serving other people, of loving other people, of making a difference in the world through the way in which we live, the things that we do to help others. That's what gives real joy and satisfaction in life. And so I'm just hoping, as we think about this parable that Jesus gave, that we really will think about how am I living? What am I doing with my life? In what way am I being more loving, more caring, more generous in my life, through my time and through my giving? I mean, is that something that's first place in my life? I hope that can be true for all of us today and always. Amen.